It's really important to know who you are before you approach these people, because you will create a behavior where you feel you need to be validated by the people around you and the people that you work with. And that can create a very toxic pursuit of happiness, of trying to let circumstances define who you are. So I think when things are good, but when they're taken away from you, you're sort of left with like who you are in that process. So it's so important that you actually have people you can journey with that give you good counsel.
Renata Bernardi, and this is the Job Hunting Podcast, where I interview experts and professionals and discuss issues that are important for job hunters and those who are working to advance their careers. So make sure that you subscribe and follow, and let's dive right in.
Mike, have you always lived in Perth? You have?
Yeah, I have, but I've traveled. I've been here, there, everywhere. I'm actually born in Houston, Texas, which is a little bit of a mixed bag. So I was born in America. Dad was working for an oil and gas oil company, and he came over to Perth to drill the first well for Woodside, which is a big oil and gas company here. He found the Rankine Trend. But my dad's from Wales, and my mum's from London. She was raised in Rhodesia. Then my grandfather's from Liverpool. My nonna's from Libya. Her mum's from Sicily, and her dad's from Malta. So I'm a bit of a mixed bag.
You are indeed. And that's awesome to kind of know a little bit about your origin. I couldn't find much about you online. I'm a bit of a stalker when I'm doing interviews, and I try to find out about my guests, but there's not much written about you there. So I wanted you to tell me how you became a chief marketing officer for Useverb.
Well, how far do you want to go back? It's built into me. Useverb is actually owned and operated by a very close friend of mine, Paul Juka. We've been drinking buddies since we were 17, and we definitely hit the market at a point where he was going to serve his career path, which is he was into mechatronics, robotics, and those sort of things. And I was into sort of the engineering space, but we had quite a rapport for each other. And once we got on with it, I got into the oil and gas game and went down that road. And he went and did his thing, but I'll bring the story back together at the end. But we've always had a high regard for each other. And Paul's a bit of a Elon Musk of Perth. He's a top 40 under 40, which is quite a distinguishable award. He's had Engineer of the Year twice. He's had Ernst & Young Award. So he's always 10 steps of everyone. So it's always interesting to see what he's doing. And it's cutting edge and those sort of things. But very much in my early days, I had a trade background with mechanical fitter. I did an engineering degree, which sort of complemented. I was very much on a path for engineering. And prior to that, I was looking at civil. Prior to that, I was looking at architecture. And I just have a fascination for how things go together. As a kid, I was always pulling things apart and then putting them back together. And I always had these missing pieces, but I've transferred that into the way that I've dealt with people. How do people go together? And then going further down that road of in the oil and gas, working for a lot of the giants and traveling the world and looking after oil and gas contracts, working on FPSOs, gas platforms, gas sites. I've been everywhere from all over Malaysia, Philippines. I've been into France. I've been into parts of South America. I've been into parts of Australia, parts of the coast of Australia, Philippines, basically providing that service in project managing major contracts and moving into the oil and gas and then moving into Shell and my latest sort of venture, which was working for one of the largest gas facilities in the world. It was like a mammoth. It was 500 meters long, and it floats in the ocean. It costs $22 billion to make. And when it's operating, it's making a lot of money. But it was on the back of that. How do you get a facility onto the water? And it's like a terminal, like a petrol station on the water. And it's basically taking the gas out of the ground, producing it, refrigerating it, knocking out all the solids, and then putting it as an export with a terminal. But to get to the end of that, I mean, that was for 22 years. I got to a point where I was doing that, Renata, and it was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I do mention in my profile that you're chasing egos and titles, and very much people will look to you and go, what do you do? It's like an identity. It's like, it's not how you are or who are you or tell me about yourself. It's like, what do you do? And very much at a young age, that sort of that identified me as I've got to get better. I've got to get bigger. I've got to get better. I've got to get it better, bigger. And it came with a very comfortable salary, plenty of opportunity to travel the world and a lot of support with family and living the good life. But just internally, it just wasn't satisfying me. It was just doing the 9 to 5, pushing the project, trying to do better, be better. And a friend of mine said to me one day, he said, what are you going to do after work? Like, what are you without that? I think was the thing she said to me. What are you without the title? And it just got into my head. It's just, what am I without saying that I work for Shell and I work for the biggest oil and gas company in the world and I work on this major project and I'm upper management and talking, leading teams. And I'm like, yeah, what am I without that? And I think it gets back to those roots of like, who do I want to be? I mean, even as a child, you want to be an astronaut or a pilot or a fireman. And we seem to forget that along the journey. And it really grounded me. And that was very timely during that COVID period where we were coming into a new normal. Normal wasn't normal anymore. And I think with the world slowing right down to a pace where you're like, why do we do what we do? And having time to reflect, which I think is so important, I took out of COVID, just creating space to just think at the end of the day and just compartmentalize and let everything slow down and put things away and finding coping mechanisms to relax and get perspectives and those sorts of things has really helped me in just excelling into what I'm doing now. But coming out of that, the company went for a bit of a reshape and there was an opportunity to go and do some expat work overseas. And there was also some sites over on the east coast of Australia. And I'm just like, I said to my wife, I don't know if I'm going to do this anymore. And she was like, what are you doing? This is crazy. You've worked all this way to get to where you're going and it's just going to be thrown away. And I think it just really comes back to like, what motivates you? Where's your passion coming from? What gets you out of bed? Those sort of things. And on the back of that, I caught up with Paul, which we used to catch up quite regularly. And I said, I'm thinking about leaving Shell. And he's like, great, you should finally come and work for me. And it was just a perfectly timed opportunity. Always wanted me to come and work for him with all of his ventures. And we've got a lot of a really good working relationship. And that just led into something where he just said, Mike, I don't need what you are, I need who you are. And it just confirmed all of that understanding and identity and purpose and passion where someone sees you for who you are and says, do you know what? I can take who you are into the next venture because that's what I need to build my business. It's not what you are, which is what a lot of people put on paper, right?
Yeah. Oh, I love that story. I think it will resonate with a lot of listeners, especially that comment from your wife, you know, what are you doing? Because there's that sunk cost mentality that a lot of us have and people around us have as well. I have it even with my friends. I don't have it with my clients, but sometimes I let the guard down and a friend of mine tells me, you know, I want to change. And I'm like, why? Why do you want to change? You know, you're so good at what you do. You're doing so well. We have that feeling inside of us and we have that surrounding us as well. That is a confirmation of, you know, who we are as professionals. But the reality is, I mean, how long did you stay in oil and gas?
22 years.
22 years. That's what I heard. Well, that's a long time, you know, and maybe half a century ago, that would be an entire career, right? And then you would retire and go fishing and whatever. Now, we don't have the luxury of thinking like that. We have to work longer. We are going to live longer. We will work longer. So we can't give ourselves this allowance of switching gears, changing routes and seeking out different things, because why would we want to do the same thing? I mean, we can do the same thing forever and that's great, but some of us just don't have the personality to stick to one career all of our lives. So good on you.
Yeah, just on the back of that, sometimes you're giving people the authority to validate you and you can chase that. You can chase that in industry. You can chase that with people. And it's really important to know who you are before you approach these people, because you will create a behavior where you feel you need to be validated by the people around you and the people that you work with. And that can create a very toxic pursuit of happiness, of trying to let circumstances define who you are. So I think when things are good, but when they're taken away from you, you're sort of left with like who you are in that process. So it's so important that you actually have people you can journey with that give you good counsel. So look, I didn't make this decision rationally, but there's an idea here that I need to unpack. And by unpacking it, you start to look at the pros and cons. What does that look like? You have the conversation. It wasn't just, hey, babe, I'm not going to work tomorrow. It was a conversation and just looking at what does it look like? Like, what does that idea look like? And it's good to entertain that and get to a point where you need to make that final investment decision. But don't always look at an idea as something that's scary, because it might be something inside of you that's leading you down a path that connects with who you are more than what you are.
And now your title is Chief Marketing Officer. How did you transition from, you know, completely different expertise into this new world?
Yeah. So look, we have a motto on the back of our shirts, which is Speak Life, which is I live and breathe. Life's about people. It's about connections. It's about relationships. And as I said at the start of what I was explaining, I love to pull things apart. I love to pull everything apart. I love to deconstruct conversations. I love to get deep with people. Even though I'm a very much an extrovert, I've got that Italian blood and I'm good in company, I like depth to people. I really like to build that rapport with people and build those relationships. But coming from that contrast, which is there with the engineer versus the CMO, look, that gave me a bit of paper that said I knew something about something. A lot of people that find this as they transition out of their studies, and you sometimes never come back to that unless you go down that path. But from being able to deliver through people, I understood that I was very good at leading teams, working with people, getting the best out of people. I always saw people in business as a piece of the jigsaw puzzle. And if you can get all the pieces in the right position, you create a great picture. And it's not self-seeking. It's about the team and getting the output. You start to understand that if I can get the right people in a room that can make the right decisions, we can build a beautiful picture here and get a great outcome. So that became one of my gifting in just knowing how to get the best out of people. And I think that's just something that I personally believe, that everyone's got something great inside of them and they've got to show the world. Don't hide it, because that's what you're selling, because you are replaceable in terms of your skill set, but you're not replaceable in who you are. And that's the precious commodity that we have, that we need to speak into the marketplace. You need me because of this. This is what I bring. So with all doing that, it elevated me into opportunities within the industry I was in to facilitate and coordinate large teams and community teams to direct and create disciplines of work and outcomes that would serve the agenda or the outcome of what good looks like on a platform, which was the asset to cash, producing gas. We've got resources. My resources are my people. I've got to deliver through them. They're the tools on the coal face. What can I do to help you, serve you, support you? So that was the part of moving up into that corporate game, being a good communicator and being able to present that picture, not just focusing on the assets and the systems or the ways of working, but the people are the most important part of any business. It just elevated me, and I had the opportunity to become the president of the social club. My nickname was Magic Mike, but just in the sense of just bringing the magic and bringing people together. And in part, while I was there, just changing the whole fabric of the business, because we saw the people behind the work. And once you start validating that and seeing that and connecting with different parts of the business, that leadership and families and community, people are like, this is a good thing. So that transferred very much into what I'm doing at Usewear, where Paul's like, I just need you, Michael, because you create atmosphere, you bring this magic. And it's not self-seeking. It's just, hey, look, Renata, you're beautiful. You're an amazing person. If we can start speaking life into people, do you know what? You get it. You get an amplified output. And that's what we're trying to do with Usewear. So moving into this part where Paul said, I just need someone that can bring the magic. He saw what I had, which was the value and the potential and the purpose that I have to speak into the marketplace. But it's just amplifying his business and taking it where it needs to go into this next season.
Yeah. I think the benefit of also working with people you know and that know you so well is that they can allow those transitions to happen. And also, it's much easier to transition out of one expertise into another in the startup world than like if you had applied for, you know, a role in a job and people would look and think, oh, I can't see this happening. But that's because they don't know you, right? So it's hard to sell. So that transition into either an SME or a startup with people you know and understand all of those different aspects of you, you know, not just your qualifications on paper, then it's possible to do that.
It's an authority. It's a warm lead. It's even why the first time we go for a job, I mean, my first job was working at a supermarket. Dad was like, you want the job? I'm like, yep. He said, okay, go and brush your hair, brush your teeth, put a clean shirt on and go and walk into that store and tell that man why you want a job, why he should hire you. So it's always been that mindset of it's a privilege to have a job because someone is seeing value in you. And when you turn up, it's like, that's what I need for my business. So that authority we carry is so important to have, let people have confidence in who we are. And it's even why referrals work. It's just like, well, I trust you, Renata. You're going to introduce me to someone else, or I'm going to introduce you to someone else. It's like, well, I trust Michael, so I'll trust you. So you're carrying that authority, which is what we want. And that's only built through relationships.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I guess all of these concepts do translate into the business that you work for right now, right? Because Useverb is this platform that includes video interviewing as part of job application that allows the candidates to show their true colors and showcase their motivation, their energy. From a candidate's perspective, especially those that I target with this podcast, experienced professionals in their mid-30s, 40s, 50s, and more, they are a little bit wary of video interviewing, especially the sort of interview format where they're speaking straight to camera and they're not speaking to anyone in particular, right? Like you and I are here in what is equivalent of a Zoom interview, right? Or a Teams interview. But speaking straight to camera is something quite new. It's a novelty for a lot of people, even young professionals, frankly. I told you before we started recording that I have two sons, they're in their mid-20s. I don't know that they would do so well in video interviews. Tell me about where did that concept come from and how has it been received?
Yeah, look, we get this question a lot and it comes back to, do you want the job? I think as companies, we're managing cost and time and normal hiring process, but they're just taking way too long and people are missing out on the opportunity to actually get an interview because they're not good on paper. There's the processing time for companies having to process all that information and potentially missing candidates and just not knowing who you're actually meeting at the interview. But coming back to where the idea came from, I mentioned earlier, Paul had a very successful robotics company, pre-GFC, and it was on the cusp of innovation. It was around 2010, 2012, around that area. I'm not quite sure, but he had a really cool opportunity for people to come work for him. And he was the latest and greatest. He was getting some major contracts with GMs and mining companies and really just taking it to that hockey stick phase. And I want to come work for you because this is cool. It's robotic. And he had actually had 1,000 people come and turn up at his workshop. And he was just like, this is awesome, but I don't have time to meet you all. So that initial introduction was great. The fact that you're eager, you're keen. But what's happening there is like, my time's very precious and I can't meet you all and I don't want to rush you all. And he just thought, I just had a short little video of who they were. I could then understand the people that can show me the talent because they're all engineers, right? They all wear a pair of R.M. Williams boots and they had some chinos on and a checkered shirt and I'm an engineer. But where's the talent? Where's the bright sparks? Where's the people that want to innovate? And you're talking to that 70%. But that's why I'm saying when you've got something to offer, show me what you're offering. Where's the innovators? Where's the big thinkers? Because people can do the numbers, but where's the disruptors? You know, and we all have our way of disrupting. That's what's unique to us. So he took that idea and he took it to San Francisco where he went in a couple of tech summits, Silicon Valley, and he tested it with Under Armour and American Express and Johnson & Johnson. And he had a pre-sale to the Super Bowl. They're like, this is amazing because it shortlists the whole process where you're not having to read all this paper and would rather watch the movie than read the book. So you've got an opportunity to stand out. And he went, well, I got to stop. And he brought it back to Perth. So over the last couple of years, we've been developing it in stealth. Paul's bootstrapped a lot of this. And this is the beauty of the product. We're not caught up with VCs and seed funding. We're doing this the right way and giving people an opportunity to shine. But what the product does now moving forward into where we're at is people do come and say to us, I'm not comfortable doing video. And I'm like, well, there's some people that aren't great on paper. So all we're offering is a more well-rounded hiring process that allows companies to see the people behind the paper for the interview. You get to meet all of your applicants in less time than the interview. And what we're finding, even with introverts, they can feel uncomfortable walking into an interview. And as I said, even with my job with Shell, that took me 5.5 months to be recruited. And look, you don't know, I understand what goes through your head during that time. It's like, I'll do anything you want. I'll be anyone you want me to be. And when you're waiting on something to validate you or show you who you are over that process, am I going to get the job? And as a company, you've got to go and put your job ad up on seat. You've got to go and apply to it. And then you've got to write your resume. Then you've got to send it in. And then you've got to look at it. And I don't know. I mean, some recruiters only look at those resumes for 6 seconds because you've got 1,000 people to shortlist. And all you're looking at is a piece of paper. Now, if I was looking at someone that wasn't great on paper and I watched a short little video, we're moving into a video iteration. So it's very timely with what we're doing. And I know there's a discomfort, but there's also a curiosity because there's something in that. There's something that it shows us. And what it does give us is more points of data. Now, if you can't get to the interview, you're never going to have a chance to show people who you really are. You're not going to get to show them your attitude, your charisma, your personality, how you turn up, how you approach. Now, if I wrote on a piece of paper, Michael works really well in teams, he's driven, works autonomously. Do you know what? That's what the other guy's written. or the other girl's written. And there's no way of differentiating between the two. Now, if I got a short little video that says, "Hey, Renata, nice to meet you. My name is Michael. I've got about 22 years in the oil and gas industry. I love working with teams. I get the best out of teams, but I also understand how to build maintenance systems and get the best out of people, looking at the assets and the posters." You're just seeing so much more in the video, and your gut is telling you something. Your gut's going, "Do you know what? There's a bit more to this person than that piece of paper. I want to know them. I want to meet them." So if we can give people that opportunity just to show themselves and sell themselves and get to the interview and not miss out on the interview, I think we're going to get on the other side of that confidence where we're not worried about feeling this is weaponized and what people think of us. They're actually going to like who you are.
Yeah. I love that. I think I agree with 100% of everything that you said. And I want to add a few more things that I have seen as a coach. I usually deal with middle management and senior management. And some recruiters, both in Australia and overseas, are adding a short video as part of the application process, right? And that puts my people off. They usually don't like it. When they think of themselves as introverts, they use that as an excuse. I find that really interesting because I know for a fact that a lot of the amazing YouTubers out there are introverts, right? You probably know this as well. Like these people that are really doing super well on video are in fact introverts and they started YouTubing and doing all of these things because they were sort of socially inept to go out into the world. So they started doing YouTube. So you can be great on video, even if you're an introvert. That is not an excuse. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is that this sort of either coincided or happened because of the pandemic. In fact, I haven't asked recruiters about this, but I should. And what I think it provided was this idea of, okay, you want to work remotely. You want to lead teams remotely. You want to engage with your colleagues in a hybrid work environment. We need to see you on video because that is part of, you know, leading and collaborating and working in this sort of flexible work environment that so many of us now aspire to do. So yes, you know, if you don't feel comfortable yet and just go back, I have not removed any videos from my YouTube channel. Just go back to my first videos. They are awful. And I want them to be there and I want them to look awful because frankly, that's how it should be. It should be an evolution. And incrementally getting better. Ideally, people would then practice before they do, you know, the use verb, short video, or any video they can practice by themselves first. That's what we do in my coaching process. So have you heard these things before? Are you agreeing with what I'm saying? I'd love to get your views.
You're looking at a digitized, like with social media, in Pinterest, I've got an idea, X is I've got an opinion, Facebook, I've build relationships. Everything is trying to digitize, or let's say we're living in a highly connected world, but we're so disconnected that we are like relationally. And we're putting processes in place where people don't hire people anymore. You know, it's a system that is going through an ATS or it's going through some AI analytics and it's losing that personal touch. I mean, back in the day, I mean, we had a gentleman now that's just found out, Tony Gallardi, he's a bit of a small business king over here in WA, Spudshed. Some of you people might know him over there, but he's a bit of a disruptor in the market with going up against Woolies and Coles and got about 20 stores, big farms. And he's quite a man about town that just believes in community. And he was telling me last week, he says, "I used to love it when people used to rock up to the farm and they'd say, 'Hey, Tony, my name's Michael. I need a job.' 'Cool. You want to work? Absolutely. Come and join me.'" But what he was doing is the fact that they're turning up and they're showing what they have, which is them and the right attitude. I can work with that. It's the attitude. I can work with that. And they turned out to be great employees. And if they didn't work, you get rid of them after a week. But what we've done with this social recruiting or social profiling or social opinions is we've lost the ability to relate. And where we used to walk into a store and say, "Hey, can I speak to the owner? I'm busy." When people say they're busy, they haven't got time. And we need to get our time back because we shouldn't be busy. We should be giving people our time because that is our resource. That's how we connect with people. That's how people feel valued. I mean, I'm so grateful to have your time, Renata, and be invited onto your show. But there's something in that. It's like, "Hey, you've got my time." And that's the deposit I leave with you. But if we're now going through this tech age where we've just swung so hard that we've become so fake that we're trying to find all these ways to produce and create what is not real, which is AI, and it has its place. Don't get me wrong. We got a bit of AI in our job description section of our platform. It works. But we've got to get back to that part where we've rehumanized. We're trying to rehumanize recruitment, and we're trying to give that personal touch back to it, which is authenticity. So when you're doing that video, it's like, this is me. And you know what? When companies see that, they're like, that's what I want. There's the attitude I want to see. There's the person I want coming to work for me. And they're like, there's hope. Because when they just read another piece of paper that's been written by ChatGPT, even if it's not, they don't know. It's a really hard way to differentiate who wants the job, who doesn't want the job. And it's just wasting our time. And I think there's just too much apathy in the market. We need to get into productivity and start helping the right people that actually want to come and work for you have a way of standing out and showing you who they really are and disrupt the market to go, hey, this is what's going to help us get on with business. And it's going to save you time. It's going to give you non-productive time back. And you're going to get people in the jobs that come and work for you. You grow your business. It's increased. Speak life.
Yeah. All right. I agree with all of that. But now I want to throw at you a question that's more of a devil's advocate sort of kind of question. So a contrarian view. One of the issues that I have, not just with video, but with the interview format in general, and I've experienced that in my career, was when you were trying to do what Paul was trying to do, hire amazing engineers to help him with his previous business. And you set up either an interview or a video format as part of your recruitment process. How can you then avoid the bias that we have for great performers? You know, people that perform well might be extroverted or, you know, how to use the medium of video or job interviewing really well, but that's not who you need. You know, like if you want awkward engineer that is a genius, but doesn't show up well on video or doesn't show up well in job interviews, how do you correct for that?
Yes, I get this question a lot, actually. And yes, you're going to have those people that are not good in person, but it also gives them the opportunity to present themselves. Now, we all have bias, whether we admit it or not. We do it when we shortlist, whether we're open to that, and it requires education. Now, if you're hiring people based on what they look like and they sound like and they don't work out, hey, I'm missing a trick here. Let's bring that back into the fold, because that's what we've done in building the processes, that shortlist through ATS, because we know what we're looking for. So there is an educational part there, but this is all we're offering is more pointed data. We are not bypassing due diligence. We're just allowing people to become the cover letter. You can still write a cover letter. You still need to submit your resume. All we say is personality first, resume second. You still need both. So it's not to avoid and say, I'm only hiring people that look good, sound good. But there's something inside of us that when we read something and when we see something, it gives us an authority and an understanding. It's the same way that someone says, I'm really good at golf, or I'm really good at swimming, I'm really good at maths. It's like, great, it's all written down. That's really, show me. And this is all we're doing with it. You need to show me. And you can't show someone how good you are, even if you're someone that lands rockets. Do a quick little video of explaining a problem, solving a problem, or how you would go about something. It's not so much it has to be the cover letter, but it's a way of people saying, I understand how you come across. So you can really tailor your job boards, which you can build on our platform, as a way of saying, hey, we want to meet you, but what we'd love to know in just 30 seconds or less, how would you tackle this problem? So you're taking information. Now, if I ask someone to send in a 30-page document on how to land rockets on Mars with an angle, I'd be like, I don't even understand this. There's too much time to do the due diligence. So I think we've got to really get back to what we see in people and connecting that with the information, not look at the contrast of saying, well, there's a bias here or there's not. And that sounds like you're being a little bit tokenistic. Look, at the end of the day, you're hiring people based on paper and they're not working out for you because you've just spent all that time. Or they do work out for you and it's the cost of a bad hire, which takes 6 months of training and then they leave you anyway. Something's not right here, that we're connecting with the results and there's something not happening. There's something not right. So all we're doing is offering a fresh new approach and a fresh perspective, which say, hey, why don't you just start looking at people and seeing who they are? Because the people that are applying to these jobs, they're like, finally, that was easy. You actually saw who I was. And then they're able to back that up. And the employees are going, wow, well, these people are amazing. We had one gentleman that walked into a store, this is a supermarket situation, retail, and he was a teacher at a school and he was looking for some side work. Now, the old way was, I've got to go and write up a resume. I've got to put all the paperwork together. I just don't have time. So he just did a quick little video. He applied to the actual store owner. The store owner looked at that. Within a week, he was in that job and he was a weekend supervisor. But what he found nice was the way that you apply through our platform. So you've still got to put in that other information. So please don't think we're bypassing that. You still need to do your due diligence as a company. You still need to do your background check. But what it does is it's like the whole, remember Where's Wally? The book Where's Wally? You're looking for Where's Wally through like a sea of people. He's this silly character with a funny hat and a stick. Stands out, right? But against everyone else, he's hard to find. So what we're doing is a way of just giving you a lens to say, hey, here I am. I really want this job. And if you really want it, at the end of the day, you're going to put that little bit of effort in that makes you stand out. Why not just chuck a video in there to show people who you really are?
Yeah, I agree with that. I really like what you said about more points of data. I think that's a perfect answer to my question. In talking about data, you mentioned that part of your system does include some like AI as well. So I'm wondering here if in your system, Useverb, the video is also reviewed by AI or, you know, bots or something, or is the video just for the human analysis?
Definitely, it's the personality. It's totally authentic. It's the last bit that's sort of real. You have to do the video to apply to that job, and it's received by the actual hiring manager who views that video.
Okay. So your system doesn't include things like analysis of facial expressions and body language?
Nope.
And like that? Okay.
Nope.
What are your opinion about that? Because that's very controversial at the moment, isn't it?
I don't like cheating the system because, as my mum always told me, everything you cheat always catches up with you. So just do it right first time, do it well, do it with excellence. And look, if you really want to know me, I'm actually a very lazy person, but I'm also I love process. And I always know when I put my name on it, I put my brand on it. So it's very important that when I put my name on it, people know that I get it done well and I do it right first time. I just don't want to do it twice. That's basically the real option. But we've got to have that ability to do it well and do it properly.
So in terms of how you prep the candidate in using the platform, right? Tell me, what do you think people need to do in order to record, let's say, a 30-second video like the one required by Useverb?
Mm.
It seems a very short little video. Like, I would be a little bit anxious in trying to pack a lot into 30 seconds. So what are the instructions or best practice that you think people should follow to do short videos?
Well, on the back of the whole Useverb platform, we got this Job Search Secrets course, which is really just a playbook, which would bring in all the conventional methods and in resumes, how to construct resumes, how to look at company culture, how to put that into your application, how to take offers, how to navigate questions, how to write script to respond back to clinical professional responses. These are the sort of questions you might get in an interview. This is a panel assessment. This is the structure they use. So just giving them, okay, I'm at this point in the process. What do I do next? But what it also leads into is like, that's the old way, but there's still a playbook there that talks through the process of hiring all the way into 3 months in the job, setting goals and what you might be walking into. So, but in terms of the actual video, there's a really nice interface, which is the Useverb Job Seeker app. Once you find a job, which might be through a QR code or a scan link, you can even apply to jobs that aren't on our Useverb job board and actually send them a verb, which is the video, and it produces your resume. But to answer your question on how does it navigate, there's a really nice workflow user interface, which actually just asks you the questions of, give me your phone number, give me your email. Do you have a resume? If it's yes, attach it. If you don't, let's create one. Fill in the about section. Tell me about your talent. Tell me about your experience, a bit of your achievements. Tell me about your education. So that's looking at skills and experience. And then that's the resume part. And then there's the video section. Hey, why don't you say hello and introduce yourself? And one of our video teams put a really nice video in there that actually just says, hey, go and introduce yourself. Tell people why you should come and work for them. And there's a real structure on how to actually use the app. There's a teleprompter in there. The way that you actually record a video is you actually hold your finger on the record button, take your finger off, and it creates a short form video. So people that aren't fluent in speaking for 30 seconds and going, I don't know what to say. I know how to introduce myself, but what's the next thing? You can literally go, hey, my name's Michael. Nice to meet you. Take your finger off. Let me tell you a little bit about myself and my background. What I love to do is, it starts to stitch the video together. And this is all patent pending tech that we've actually developed. And what that does is offers you a video which puts together short form video, which is like TikTok for jobs, but in a real authentic way to help people see who you are. So you've got a really nice way of just following a teleprompter that you've written what you want to write. The camera picks up your eyes, it's looking at you, and you're just reading off the script. And you can turn the camera around and show them things. You can show them a bit about yourself, depending on what the job is. I mean, if it's outdoors, you can show them outdoors. If it's inside, you want to become an engineer, show them a couple of the projects that you love working on. Hey, this is my new project car. This is what I've done. People want to know your hobbies. They want to know what you're like. So you're able to put all of that in the video for 27 seconds and it stitches it all together. And that actually burns into your application so that when they actually open up your application, there's a nice little video. Hey, my name's Michael. Nice to meet you. Thank you for looking at my application. I really want to come work for you guys. I love what you're about. I can't wait to get out for you for an interview and tell you more about what I'm doing. It's like, wow, okay, absolutely. It's kind of like job ads became fun again. And we're meeting people for the first time.
That's so cool. So based on what your clients, the employers tell you, are there some sort of things that they give feedback to you that they really like to see in videos? So that we can tell the listeners and they can sort of think about what that means to them.
What they like. They love to meet you. I mean, we look at paper all the time and we're like, I don't even know who this person is. We're stuck in an office. I need my Friday afternoon clear. Don't bother me for 4 hours. I've got to look at all these resumes and I've got to highlight and I've got to make phone calls up. I've got to put it on my spreadsheet and then I've got to do my due diligence and write the notes. And I mean, come on. It's just, it's painful. And then the worst thing is you set up the interview to the hiring manager. Finally, after 4, 5, 6 weeks, and the hiring manager, where did you get these people from? Do you know what? It might have been someone that wasn't great on paper that would have been perfect for that role. And as a recruiter, your job is to find the best person. And this is why we're not here to take recruiters' jobs. We're not here to take hiring managers' jobs. We are the tech that's going to make your job easier. And do you know what? Imagine presenting that to your hiring manager. Their time's precious. They want you to set up meetings because they want to meet them. They don't want to look at paperwork. They don't want to look at resumes. But you can give them all that paperwork with the video and go and speed date your talent pool and go, wow, I really like this. And then when the actual hiring managers are meeting these candidates, they're like, hey, I loved your video. Tell me a bit more about yourself. It just breaks that wall down, which is that discomfort that people have when they apply to a job. Just, I hope you actually like me.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. I hope you actually like me. Now, if we can help people feel valued, and this is something that we're walking into this next generation, they are needing a lot of encouragement. They're needing a lot of confirmation. Now, if we've got a way that basically puts them out there and says, hey, and they're comfortable with doing this, right? Like you said, the introverts, they can practice. And then someone's like, I like you. It gives that opportunity to meet people where they're at. We're trying to be too polished. We're trying to be too perfect. And we're not. We're all broken people. We've all got our flaws, but we've got to show that part of us that I can work with that. That's the part that I need to see when I work with them. Can I trust you? One of the best things I ever learned, part of my leadership training in my past life, was the trust equation. Have you heard of the trust equation?
Yes. Tell me.
And it's for your viewers. There's something inside of us that sort of goes, I trust you, or I don't trust you. It's the gut, okay? There's something, but that's connected to data, okay? Now, the data that's connected to is, when we have gut, it's when you meet someone for the first time, whether you're walking into a bar, you're going for a drink, you're going to an interview, you're assessing the room, you're assessing the space. Okay. That's why our verbs are 27 seconds. It's that, do I want to invest any more time into you? Okay. And if you've got it, you move on. If you don't, sorry, I'm busy. Again, we're chasing time. We want our time back. But what the trust equation does is it's reputation by credibility, by heart, all divided by self-orientation. Now, what that's basically saying is, do you do what you do? Do you do what you say? Do you show you care? All divided by what's your motive? Now, if one of those things are missing, I don't trust you. You keep telling me you're going to do it and you don't do it. You keep showing me that you're going to do it and you don't do it. I don't really feel you care. And do you know what? You just want a promotion. So I don't trust you. So as leaders, we're getting more points of data to make better assessment and assess people for who they are. It's like, do you know what? I've got a good feeling about this person. And you can't see that on paper. It's an introduction. This is all the paper does. It introduces you to the person. That's a bio, whether it's a great sports star, whether it's a chief executive officer, that's great with people. There's something in us that says, do you know what? This one might work. You know, I feel it in here. And that was part of the success of what I had even when I got selected at Shell with down to a shortlist, kind of two people. And the hiring manager said, look, they're both great, but there's something about this guy that I like. and that's your gut. And you get that in the interview. So if you can allow hiring managers and business owners to actually get the best of the bunch, instead of shortlisting based on skills and experience, and there's the potential that there was someone that doesn't know how to say who they are on paper into the interview, man, you've got a very competitive workforce of people that actually want to come and work for you. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I think we can start getting on with things if we can start seeing that in people.
Yeah. I understand now that the 27 seconds video is because your clients are busy and they can't watch 3-minute videos or 5-minute videos. But how did you arrive at 27 seconds?
It's not actually the client. It's actually the behavioral science of you and how you assess people. And our attention span is getting shorter and shorter. If you literally Google what is the 27 second introduction, it goes into the science of how we receive information, how we assess it. And it's on average, it's about 27 seconds, which is why I've heard the 27 seconds. It's that there's enough information in there, like a cover letter. You don't want a 10-page cover letter. I mean, if you're receiving a 10-page or a 5-page or a 2-page, you're like, oh, we say it without thinking. It's our bias. It's our unconscious bias. I don't want to read all this. Now, if you've got one video, which might be your second stage, which is 3 minutes, 5 minutes, great. You can have those longer videos. But this is a way of speed dating your talent pool to go, wow, there's something there. And you want the best people working for your company. So if you've got a really place that's attractive to work for and people like your brand, people want culture now. They're not chasing titles or job descriptions. They want a company that they can work with, that they can feel valued with. And this is why a lot of companies are now starting to brand themselves by people that champion it. It's like, come and work for, I know, Russell Brunson's or Gary Vee, or it's like, I'm following you. You become the brand, you know? The name of the company is the person that's behind it. So it's like a great Formula One team. They want to follow a good team principle, and that's their brand, because we know there's something in there that cultivates and it builds the team. And if you've got the right team that are thinking the right way, feel the right way, act the right way, behave the right way, become the right way, becomes the character, becomes the business, becomes who they are. So all culture is the habits of the people. So if you're building the right habits and you're hiring the right people based on who they are and what they bring, that's what brings the diversity into your workplace.
Yeah. Have you noticed, by the way, that potential clients respond to your idea and your product, that the ones that take up and say, yep, I want to use Useverb, I want this video as part of, you know, my data analysis on candidates, do they have some common themes? Have you noticed that there are some commonalities in the clients that reach out to you and you sign up?
Yeah, we do. It's quite disruptive what we're doing. So if you just come back to, we have agreed that this is how recruitment and hiring's done. And we've created this dark art. We put it for the sausage machine. We do all this vetting. And finally, you get these amazing candidates at the end of it. That's the way we do it. We can't tell you our process, but there's a lot of work. And I've done hiring. I've done graduates. I've done juniors, apprentices. I've built teams. There's a lot of work that goes in all that. But what companies are actually originally, firstly, depending if you're talking to HR, HR are like, whoa, you're going to take our jobs. It's like, whoa, we're not the hiring company. We're the tech. We're here to make your job easier. Check it out. Have a look at it. And that's starting to shift now, all right? So being bold enough to, we've got a couple of people that in early phase champion that for us, and we've built testimonials on that, and they're like, this thing's awesome. I didn't even interview anymore. It's so good. Now, we want our time back, but the business owners are liking that because the people that are coming to the interview, they're like, hey, where are you finding these people from? They honestly think that no one wants to work, and I don't believe in that. I just think we're in a Mexican standoff with what's not working, and the way that we've seen it with the data that we've seen is people will fill a resume and cover letter together. And it takes time. It takes a lot of time to put together. They'll put it into Seek, and then Seek will go and scan that because they've got this really cool ATS stuff. And it will tell you there's all these jobs you can apply for. And what we do is we hit the quick apply button because we've been reduced to the double tap and the like button. And we're like, apply, 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 apply. So I feel like I've done something. You know, I've applied to like 50 jobs. But yeah, it doesn't help the employer because the employer's got 50 applications from one person, from 50 people, and they're saturated in the market. And they're like, I got too many people. But what actually starts to happen is when they start ringing up these candidates, they ring up the candidate and they're like, hi, Renata, my name's Michael from so-and-so. I want to talk to you about the job you applied for. And they're like, sorry, which job did I apply for? How much are you offering me? Not interested.
Yeah.
You know, and what's happening is because people are not getting the feedback because they're getting saturated in the market, they're like, stop asking me for a resume. Stop asking me for a cover letter because you don't read it and you never get back to me. And it's not that they don't. It's just there's too much noise and there's no way of actually finding the gems in there because there's people in there that don't even want to work for you.
Yeah.
They're just saturated in the market. So this is what I mean by the Mexican standoff. So our platform integrates really well with a lot of the platforms that are out there where you may be using Seek or Indeed. You can still get the actual applicants, which is great, and the talent pooling. But what we're going to be able to do for you is shortlist it and help you find the talent. Because what we've found is people that do the video want the job.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a really cool way of actually just piping in that talent instead of people that are just hitting the quick apply or getting their quotas for their payments or whatever. I'm just saying you get saturated. I'm not saying that's everyone, but as an employer, you get all these applicants and you're like, I'm trying to get on with the job. I've just spent $1,000 on a job board and I've got to process all this information. I just want to get on with it. I don't have time to shortlist. I don't have time to read them all. It's just, and then you just hire anyone. And then you realize it was a bad hire and the cost of a bad hire and all the training they went into. And they leave after 6 months. It's just compounding.
Yeah.
So all we're saying to people now is the people that are using our platform love it. We've got over 200 companies on board. They're getting their time back. They're getting their business up and running. And it's starting to permeate into white collar and blue collar trades. So that they're starting to see that, hey, this is working. There's something in that. And we're just allowing that to happen organically, which is great. And I'm not having to bring the objections and the arguments, which I'm happy to do here, but this is what's happening. People's going, it just works. It's just so easy. It's cheap. It's effective. It gets me what I want. It's getting me outcomes. And I'm getting to meet all these people that want to come work for me. And because people know where to go, whether you've got a QR code here or a QR code there on your business, on your website, on your email signature, operates like a big click funnel. Anywhere you click on social media, social recruiting, it brings it into your job board instead of trying to manage it on LinkedIn and Seek and Facebook and email and bring it onto a spreadsheet and put it into a CRM. And you can hear that I'm laboring this, but this is what we're doing. And we're like, I need you to go and find me five people. All right, lock out your calendar for 4 weeks. Don't disturb me. And then you get to the end of that and you're like, that's all there is in the market. They're not, they're in there. The people that want to come work for you in there, we've just got to find a new way to apply.
I love that. Michael, I think that this will be very well received by the audience here. And I think that you and your team are onto something really special. And I guess as more experienced professionals, we just need to catch up and accept that this is the way to go, you know, and video and the online presence and knowing and verbal communication is such an important aspect of recruitment and selection process. So the video format as part of the application is just bringing that verbal communication forward, right? Instead of postponing it to the interview stage, you know, you're bringing that forward. So I really like that. I hope that the audience understands that there's no going back. And we need to present ourselves in that format as well. Before we go, do you have any other advice to give the listeners? Any final thought, pearls of wisdom? I put you on the spot there. Sorry.
I don't want to over-spiritualize this all, but everyone's got something special inside of them, Renata. And it's our God-given talent. It's our gift to offer this world. And I really think if you want to look at this on a global level and where we are, even with COVID and that, we've hidden everyone away. And then what manifests out of this is all these things that want to fix it, but just keep us busy again. And we're like, it's never going to get better. And if we can get back to basic and doing things where my word is my word, my word is my bond, my handshake is my contract, my smile is my introduction, I love who you are, people can start feeling confident about themselves again, not hiding behind things that are trying to validate them, that are devalidating them. Because what makes us special and unique is the person that's inside of us. And that's our personality. And if we can really start presenting that and working on that, okay, not working on our resume, working on ourselves and journeying with people and coming around people. And even the people that follow you, Renata, they're looking for understanding. You've got knowledge, but without understanding, we're lost. So if I tell you to get in the car and don't speed, it's knowledge. And at a young age, we don't understand what that means. But when you get pulled over, you get a lot of understanding from the policeman because there's a consequence to that. So We've just got to find that way to reconnect. And we can find the people that build us up and walk with us and journey with us. Life's a beautiful thing. And it's all about stretching us. It's about building character. And it's about showing people who we really are. And that's why it's so important. But you've got people like yourself, Renata, where you're speaking life into your market and you're coaching and you're empowering people. And it's been just such a pleasure to come on your show and just emulate what you're trying to do. But there's a new kid on the block, which is UseVerb. We're a global disruptor. We're just going to market and we're going to change the way people apply to jobs.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mike. You're always welcome here. If you guys at UseVerb come up with something new, you can come on the platform here on the show and tell us all about it. I'm sure that there's probably more interesting stuff that you're all working on, and you're welcome to pop by anytime for a chat.
Yep. Definitely. We are definitely going to market and changing the game. And we've got a few other things in our 5 to 10 year pipeline. So keep an eye out for us. And again, Rada, thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it. And any support I can provide to you guys or your followers, reach out. I'll pick up the phone.
Okay. We'll have links in the show notes for sure.